Welcome back to Kung Fu Pizza Party. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and we are keeping things simple and stripped down today. Gonna kind of save all of the fun, gimmicky stuff that I normally do here on the show for next time. Today, we're here to pay respect. In case you missed it, I seriously doubt anybody who listens to the show would have missed this news, but in case you did miss it, this past Friday, after experiencing a medical emergency, Chuck Norris died. The legend passed away. And it obviously it was devastating news across the board for everybody. Obviously, you know, prayers for the Norris family at this time, who is experiencing this pain, this grief the most. But it's always hard when a celebrity suddenly passes away, even though in the case of Chuck Norris, you know, he had just turned 86. I think it was like a week to 10 days prior was his 86th birthday. And, you know, when you get to that age, it's kind of this like, wow, you have lived a long life. And you start to kind of, you know, as a fan, as somebody who is connected with an individual who's reaching that age, like you start to kind of mentally prepare a little bit, probably even earlier than that, honestly. But with Chuck Norris, look, we all know that they were jokes. We all know that the Chuck Norris jokes, they were fat, you know, the Chuck Norris facts, they were jokes. Ha ha, hee hee. But at the same time, like, I think there was a hint of, like, we all believe them. A little bit that Chuck Norris, you know, when he does a push up, he doesn't push himself up, he pushes the world down. Chuck Norris, that after he visited the Virgin Islands, they were just known as the Islands. Chuck Norris, this man that we, you know, deified, we turned him into like this demigod kind of character, kind of person. And so when when the news broke, it was kind of like, yeah, it was a little bit glass shattering, because even though, again, they're jokes, the facts were jokes, it still was like, I don't know, it made sense that Chuck Norris was going to outlive all of us still. You know what I mean? And so it just didn't, you know, this isn't the first time I've done a tribute episode to somebody who had just passed away, but particularly with Chuck Norris, given who he is and what he did for this industry, the martial art media industry, the kung fu movies, you know, with all of it, it just seemed more appropriate just to go very simple, very straightforward. Now, the next big question after deciding that was, of course, and what movie am I going to watch? You know, because I've covered some of his films already so far over the past whatever we're on now, year and a half of this show. And, you know, some of the big ones, you know, Good Guys Wear Black, A Force of One, you know, some of the big ones. But I've been spending a lot of time focusing more on the early career of Chuck Norris as I've been doing these reviews. And so I thought I would take us back to his very first leading role with 1977's Breaker Breaker. At this point, Chuck Norris has done a few cameo films just before this. He was had his cameo role in Way of the Dragon, fighting Bruce Lee in the Colosseum. But this is his first leading role. And right after this one, he's going to go on to make Good Guys Wear Black. And as they say, the rest is history. Breaker Breaker, as important of a film as it is in the history of Chuck Norris, it is, however, not necessarily one of the movies that people are going to immediately think of or immediately, it's not going to be one of his iconic films. And I fact checked that a little bit. I was searching online because in my mind, when it comes to what is the most iconic Chuck Norris film, I talked about that previously here on the show, it's got to come down to either Good Guys Wear Black or Lone Wolf McQuade. And after that point, I think that's when you can toss in movies like Delta Force, Missing in Action is usually up there. Code of Honor, Invasion USA. Those would probably be, those movies would be some combination of the top five films in my mind. And like I said, the top two would probably be some combination of Good Guys Wear Black and Lone Wolf McQuade. And I wanted to fact check that. So I took to the internet because obviously with him passing, everybody was putting out lists of, you know, the most iconic Chuck Norris films, the Chuck Norris movies you should be watching right now, all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, those movies usually dotted these lists, usually higher up on the list. Breaker Breaker was nowhere to be seen on most of the lists I looked at, except for one. IMDb had a top 20 Chuck Norris films of all time, and Breaker Breaker was there at number 19. So I think that kind of shows that, like, I mean, even movies like Silent Rage and Sidekicks were getting higher. Fire, what's the one? Firestarter? Firewalker? The one with Louis Gossett Jr. that's supposed to be like a comedy, Indiana Jones style film. Like, even that one was showing up on more lists than Breaker Breaker was, even though this is like a very crucial film in his career. This is his first time in the leading spot. Now, I do want to say this concerning the lists, because I imagine you've probably seen some of these lists out there. I do want to comment on this. If I were to sit down and actually make a list of, you know, these are the whatever arbitrary number of Chuck Norris films that you should be watching right now to honor his legacy, films like Way of the Dragon or The Expendables 2, in my mind, would fall under the honorable mentions category. I wouldn't necessarily include those two because those are not Chuck Norris films. He's in them and he's got great roles in them, but they're not necessarily like his movie. I would want to still give a nod towards those films, and would definitely, I wouldn't blame somebody if they, you know, after his passing, wanted to sit down and watch either one of those, because they're great, fun movies to watch. However, once again, as it has been proven at least one other time here on the show, Screen Rant apparently exists just to make me a little irritated. You know what really grinds my gears? Screen Rant. Because I'm sorry, Screen Rant, but Dodgeball doesn't count at all, either as an actual like Chuck Norris film or an honorable mention. They had Dodgeball on their list. And look, it's a funny cameo, don't get me wrong, but it is a blip of a cameo. Like, way less screen time. I'm pretty sure he has way less screen time in that one than the other two, the other two movies I brought up. So once again, Screen Rant is proving that they exist just to irk me a little bit. When does Screen Rant stop being like a fun place? Like, it just exists to be clickbait rage bait material now, I guess. Anyway, so with all that being said, I think part of the reason why Breaker Breaker is often overlooked or forgotten about is because it's, particularly when it comes to Chuck Norris, it's not the usual character that he plays or will go on to routinely play. Chuck Norris obviously would go on to play the Vietnam vet, the Vietnam soldier, or the local law enforcement guy who is also probably a Vietnam vet. Like, that's kind of the like lane he ends up finding himself in, and it makes sense given the time period. But that's not Chuck Norris here. This is, hey, what if we made a movie with Chuck Norris as a truck driver? And when you frame the movie that way, it does sound like a joke. And I remember the first time I watched Breaker Breaker, I wasn't really into it as much. On this most recent rewatch, and I'm pretty sure this is not recency bias being dictated by the fact that he had just passed away, but genuinely, outside of the ending, which I don't think it's a very good... The horse part at the very end of the movie is not good. I don't know what they're trying to do there whatsoever. But looking at the plot and looking at like what they were trying to do with this little town thing that they had going here, I think it's got a lot of good pieces and arguably could be one of the most remakeable Chuck Norris films, and one that I think you could even do in the modern age, even with all of the technology that we have now that they didn't have in 1977 when this movie came out. That, and the fact that more and more I am being persuaded that these early 70s, or well, I should say these early Chuck Norris films, the late 70s, early 80s, that's the sweet spot. By both the movie, the action itself, and also the acting. I think Chuck's earliest films are some of his best acting performances. Also, though he may not be playing one of the usual characters that he would go on to play, one of the usual like templates of a character that he would go on to play, here, it is still very much Americana. Like, that's usually another thing that's very heavily influenced, a very heavy part of Chuck Norris's films, especially, you know, like his war shows his war movies, or, you know, his Walker, Texas Ranger, is that it's very, like, American. And there is something very, like, though we did not invent truck driving, there is still something, like, very rural, rustic Americana with Chuck Norris driving a semi truck, hanging out with truck drivers at like a dive diner bar, and, you know, this town that the events of the movie center around. It's very like Wild West Western feel to it. Everything's dusty and dirty. Like, it still has all of the, it has a lot of the trimmings of like the very Americana vibe that a lot of Chuck Norris's projects would go on to have. And again, truck driver Chuck Norris, sure, maybe it's a little cheesy at first glance, but plot-wise, I really do like what they've got going here. So in a nutshell, Chuck Norris is helping out his younger brother getting into the trucking industry. And the brother is doing this delivery. I think he's running like frozen dinners to some location, and he gets stopped and redirected into this little town off the beaten path. This little town that's being run by a corrupt judge who their whole mission is basically racketeering and other like, you know, shady business practices. So they run these trucks into their town so that way they can like impound them and scrap them and sell off the contents. They've got like a moonshine running, again, very Western, very Americana. They got like a moonshine distillery that they're running moonshine to local towns. There's like other like shady business practices going on, and it all centers around this town judge who's running everything. And when the brother gets caught up into this and is being essentially held captive, Chuck Norris is gonna go in and save his brother, and eventually all the rest of Chuck's, you know, buddy truck drivers drive into the town to help, you know, bring down this corrupt little town and save Chuck's brother. And there's a lot of that I really enjoy. Especially, I think the first thing that really jumped out at me was the fact that it's his brother. Like, not like actually not actually Chuck Norris's brother, but that he's like, the characters are, he's trying to save his brother in the movie. And I love that. It's not his wife, his girlfriend, his fiance. It's not his estranged kid. It's not his dog. It's his brother. And so there's like a, and they're like close brothers. That's established quickly early on in the film that they're not like estranged or anything like that, but they're close, they're buddies, they're, you know, the whole bit. And I love that. It's different. It's, you know, not just one of his friends or, you know, like a lover or anything. It's his brother. And so you just have like, and Chuck's the older brother. And so he's just kind of got, it's not just a, I want to save somebody who cares about, but it's an older brother caring for his younger brother. And I love that. And obviously I am the oldest sibling. So I really resonated with that. And it was different and refreshing. And although this town has like I said, a Wild West vibe to it, it has another vibe going throughout it that I think isn't necessarily intentional. But if they were to ever remake Breaker Breaker, and once again, let's be honest, folks, all films are on the table to be remade at some point. That's just the law of Hollywood at this point. So if they did remake Breaker Breaker, I would really hope they lean into this more, because it kind of has like this cult vibe to it as well. Everything in the town revolves around the judge, and the judge is first introduced in the opening shot of this movie, where he is announcing to this crowd of people that they've been granted the visa by the state of California to launch, I think they call it Texas City or something like that, Houston City, Texas City, one of something along those lines. And just like he's having this big charismatic speech, he's at the center of every decision. People will just do and say and fall in line with anything he says in the town, and everyone is like just getting by. They're always like a little skeptical towards any outsider, particularly Chuck Norris. There's a scene he stops at a diner bar thing in the town to get some food, and the hostess hands him a menu. The hostess ends up becoming his love interest in the movie, by the way. But then the like owner of the diner runs by and snatches the menu and hands him a different one, because that's the menu that outsiders get to order from, and the prices are all jacked up. Like, there's something very cultish going on about this town, and if this was to ever be remade, I would hope that they really lean into it and maybe add like a bit of a religious element to it and just give it like full creepy cult vibes. Also in the cult category, so after the horse shot, I still have no idea what this horse was trying to communicate here at the end of the movie. It almost seems prophetic towards the rest of Chuck's career, but I don't know what it was trying to. It's just like this weird kind of artistic shot with a horse right at the end of the movie, and an otherwise not very artistic film. The movie ends, though, with all of Chuck's truck driver buddies driving their semis through the town. And I don't mean on the roads, but like through the buildings, and eventually one goes through the distillery and it catches on fire, and it ends on this note that basically the town burns down. And because it already had like a little bit of this underlying cult thing going on here, I was like, oh god, this looks like Waco. And just to continue to make everybody more uncomfortable, again, this movie came out in 77, and Jonestown happens in 78. So I'm telling you, folks, if and when they remake Breaker Breaker, I really hope they lean in to the cult thing. I love cults. I've done a lot of episodes on my sister show, My Seminary Life, related to cults. And so maybe I should put that on my list of potential movies I may make one day as part of the Kung Fu Pizza Party banner, and do like a martial artist trying to escape from like a cult compound thing. I don't know. There's something there, or at least I would want to watch it. Make the art that you want to see in the world. I don't think that's the quote, but it sounds right to say right now. Combat-wise, look, this is Chuck Norris bread and butter. Right off the bat, we're getting the good Chuck Norris, the sidekick, the spinning crescent kick. The fighting is what you would hope for, the jump, the switch front, jump front kick. Like, it's exactly what you want. One of the better fight scenes in the film, there's a multiple attacker fight in a courthouse. Chuck Norris takes on like several people from the town in this courthouse. He runs out and there's kind of this like crappy looking like overhang canopy thing over porch to the front of the courthouse, and Chuck grabs on and pulls himself up through a hole to hide while everyone else runs out to try and find him. Then the judge saunters out and Chuck drops back down in front of him, and the judge says something along the lines of like, well, that was pretty impressive. That was a pretty good trick you did. And the smile on Chuck Norris' face looks genuine, almost like the judge ad-libbed that and it caught Chuck off guard and they ended up keeping it. There is one scene, though, combat-wise, it's like the first fight in the movie, that it just doesn't, it's off. Early on, after Chuck's brother goes off to do the delivery, Chuck grabs a meal at the truck stop diner, and while he's eating his meal, a guy comes over to challenge him to an arm wrestling match, because I guess Chuck Norris is like the arm wrestling champion of the diner or something along those lines. They have the match, Chuck wins, and of course it escalates into this whole barroom blitz. Like, they're just... it turns into, you know, they're all fighting, people are throwing stuff around. But the thing is that the whole scene is shot high and tight. And when I say high, I mean high. It's like chest level. It's like nipple level and higher that the fight scene is shot at. And so you really don't see anything other than the actors reacting to being hit. It's either nobody was fast enough to keep up with Chuck, which I've heard he was strong, but I've never heard that he was too quick to keep up with. Or maybe it was like some kind of where they were filming at, they weren't actually allowed to like destroy the place for the scene. So they had the sound effects and what looked like they were tearing up this diner for this fight, and actually they weren't. So they had to shoot it high and tight so that way they could conceal the fact that the tables were fine. I don't know. It's wonky, but thankfully the rest of the fights in the movie are not shot like that. It is back to wide shots so that way you can see everything. It's just this one in particular it's jarring. It's really jarring. Like, modern action films are shot like kind of this high end type, but more so in a way to conceal stuntmen. Whereas this was just like, there's like a choice being made here that doesn't make sense, much like the horse at the end of the movie. Now, that's it for this review. It's hard to just say in few words, you know, thank you, Chuck Norris. like, thank you for what you have done for this industry. You will not be forgotten. You're going to continue to make such a major impact on all of us. And I saw some people like right after his death starting to like turn it into a meme and make AI generated slop of him and all of this stuff. And I just genuinely, just cards on the table, I found it all incredibly tacky just to like try and run to make it a meme, to make it a joke, the whole thing. But I did see one. And I think with this one, we should officially be done making new Chuck Norris facts. This is it. We're ending it here, because Chuck Norris doesn't rest in peace. Peace rests in Chuck Norris. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. Check out the other great shows here on the NSL Ministries Podcast Network, like Page and Pixel, Systematic Ecology, and Why I Don't Like. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. I promise, folks, next time we are together, barring another major death in the family, we will be back to the same bat time, same bat channel, same antics. I will close with the usual line because I did actually do it, folks. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I did deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.